Be seated. Here we go. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Let me ask you if I could, Pastor Atkins and Brother Callan, would you all come and just give a word of advice to our student body, if you would, please? Brother Callan, if you would. Brother Atkins, we do not have two finer graduates than I believe anywhere in the world than the two men who will just speak for just for a moment. I want them just to greet you and give you a parting word of advice. It's our last chapel service, and how I admire these men of God, one serving the Lord in the Arizona, the other one in Alberta, Canada, and just two people who have just shown great fidelity, faithfulness to their God, to their spouses, to their church families, to the passion which God's given them, and we're very grateful for that. I think it'd be helpful to us if we could hear from them. And, of course, Brother Atkins drove all the way from Alberta, Canada, just drove straight through with his wife, Deborah, and son, Stephen. We're certainly glad to have them. And I think, Brother Callan, you guys flew in last night late, didn't you? And we're certainly glad to have them. Why don't you listen carefully, get your Bibles out to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16, we'll share a few thoughts in parting today, but I want you to hear from these men. Take 2 or 3 minutes or so. Give us a challenge or a thought, would you please, sir?
Thank you, preacher. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. It's great to be here. And I used to sit just back over in here in those great years also at Hiles Anderson. It's good to see all of you here today. And, of course, just let me say a few things. But just a privilege to be here. We have God's blessed us immensely in Canada. Left here, graduated in 93, 94, then went straight north and started a church just right above Montana, about 3 hours north of the border in Calgary. It's famous for their stampede, and God has blessed us immensely. We have, on the average, in the last many years, we've seen a soul saved and baptized in the Sunday morning service every Sunday for the year. And we've also, and I've prayed and asked God to give us a greater goal of seeing in the morning service, Sunday morning, two baptisms every Sunday. And so far this year, God has given us a great goal has been achieved so far this year. So thank the Lord. But I want to say to all the preacher boys and to every one of you, stay faithful to the Lord. You get out, you graduate, stay true. Keep the Bible ahead of you. And be loyal and faithful, very important to our Savior Jesus Christ. A lot of preachers have changed, and I see that even in my generation. And we don't want to do that. We want to stay faithful and true to Him. So God bless you. And of course, congratulations to all of you seniors. And as you serve the Lord and move forward in your life, I'm very proud of you. God bless you. Thank you, preacher.
Thank you. All right. It's an honor to be here today. I love this place, and a lot of memories flood my mind when I come back and sing the alma mater, and my wife's asking for my Kleenex, and it's just it's a wonderful place, and I love what God did in my heart here. I would just tell you a couple things. First of all, I would advise you to marry well, and if you're going to marry well, you got to start dating, fellas, and seriously. Your ministry, a lot of it's going to hinge on your partner for life, and you ought to be very prayerful about it, but you need to do it. And I'm so grateful that God brought my wife and I together here in this place, and let me just encourage you to pray about that. And then the second thing I would tell you is just keep doing what you're doing and what you're being taught here. It works, and I tell you, there are people changing, as Brother Atkins mentioned, and I think it's a slippery slope when you start changing, and I believe one of these days they're going to be sorry, and they'll regret that. And it's always difficult because we have an about enemy, and there's always a devil to fight. And but you stay with the truths from God's Word, and you stay with what you've been taught here, and you'll be glad you did. And I know I can say that. If nobody else came to our church but my own children, I would want to preach the truth to them. And I would want them to know the truth from God's Word. And I'm not willing to compromise, even if it was just my wife and my children. And let me encourage you to stay by the stuff and what you've learned here in the servant's heart that you've been taught here by your pastor and by the staff and faculty here. But God bless you. It is a great life serving the Lord. You stay at it and you'll rejoice. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brother Callan. When I hear about souls being saved and people baptized in a church too, at least every Sunday morning, what a great testimony it is. And that is in a difficult field. Every field has a different yield. Some places, it seems like the Lord, there's been so much sown seed there and irrigation through the years that people are much more receptive to the gospel. I preached yesterday in Mexico, and at the conclusion of the service, I preached primarily to Christians, but I said, if there's anyone here you're not saved and you want someone to talk to you about Christ, he had five people raise their hand, and each of them got dealt with biblically and hear them trust the Lord. And one evangelist told me, he says, people are very receptive here in Mexico. And a lot of that's because somebody has sown seeds through the years and watered that seed with the gospel and also with their blood in some cases. But to think about in Calgary, Canada, that someone is being used of the Lord to see multiple people get saved and baptized on a regular basis is no small accomplishment. It's a wonderful thing for God. And then, of course, just the great church there in Arizona, how thankful I am to be in the same yoke with godly men like the ones who just spoke to you. Real quickly, if I could have our tour members stand, if you would please. Our tour members, if you're going on tour tomorrow night, Saturday morning, would you stand? And I'd like to have all of us to pick out two or three of these young men and young ladies and pray for them specifically, that God would help them. They are going to be representing you and the Lord Jesus Christ and the cause of Christ. I was speaking to Brother Cowling this morning, and I think in just in a few moments of talking, I think we talked about three people that came to Hiles Anderson College because of a tour group who are now impacting eternity in the lives of people around the world. One of those is Rachel Wyatt. Another one, I can't remember who else, we talked about two or three of them, but there were different people doing great works and exploits for the Lord. And it's because of a tour member. I remember Miss Linda Schender is here because a tour member sat with her family till about 12:30 one night, 1 o'clock in the morning at their kitchen table, answering questions, sharing why they come to college here, what they've learned, how it helped them. And that family moved from South Carolina to go to college here, and the rest is history, how God has used them. These young people are very sweet. They're any more special than anyone sitting down, except that they are going to be instruments of Christ to be a help. They'll be traveling many miles. We want to pray for their safety, pray for their conduct, pray for their testimony. They'll be soul winning every week. Brother Collins makes time for all of them to take the soul winning time and winning people to Christ and be representing our church and our college. And let's pray for them right now that God would help them. Brother, let me ask if I could please. Brother Malucci, would you stand in the back and you pray for the tour members? While he prays out loud, let's all of us pray for them. Could you please? Amen. God bless you. Thank you, tour group members, and let's continue to pray for them throughout the summer. If they're in your area, and if you'll look on the online, you can be able to see where they'll be, which services they'll be in different places. Take time to come and bring others with you, and let them enjoy the singing and the youth rally or the service on the off nights. So many times they're on in your areas on Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday, Friday when you don't normally have church. But your presence can be an encouragement to them, and I want to encourage you to do that and bring other young people to hear them sing and to experience the message in the preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, our time is limited. I want to just tell you how much we love you and appreciate every one of you. But I want to give you a challenge, the same challenge the Apostle Paul gave the church at Corinth. The book of 1 Corinthians is a book of really rip your face off. It's a lot of problems. The church has gone through some difficult times, and Paul, very strategically, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and with the wisdom of the Lord, begins to tackle every problem that the church has. As he concludes the book, he admonishes them to know and take advantage of the opportunity, the example of the house of Stephanas, which was one of the first people. They worked together. They were obvious. Everybody knew them. They were the first fruits. They had done it for a long time. They were worthy of leadership, and they did for the church and for Christians what other people could have done but just wouldn't. They went the second mile. But before he admonishes them, he tells them a little bit about his desire to send Timothy, and not to be fearful or not have to wonder how you feel about him. Be gracious with the new leader coming in town. He also tells them he talked to Apollos, who was a great preacher of the time. They loved to hear him preach, and he was not interested at all at that time to come to Corinth. He said he would come another time. But then he gives them just some parting advice. Five thoughts I want to give to you, as in just a few days you will walk off this campus and go back to your home. Some of you will stay here, and that'll be great. We'll enjoy seeing you. I had the joy when I went to college, some of my years to stay in the dorm, some of the years to go and intern in different locations. But I remember doing both of those, and God used both of those in my heart and life especially. But I want to give you some advice for your summer, and here's what it is. Look, if you would please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We'll begin in verse number 13. Let's read it together, verse 13 together. Ready? Watch ye. Verse 14 together as well. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom just in a few moments to share with our young friends these thoughts. I sure love them. I sure appreciate the partnership that we have with their moms, their dads, their church families, their pastors. Thank you, Lord, for the way. I think of several of them. I looked across the audience this morning and remember seeing them come on the campus in September or August. And then others came in January. And now we're wrapping up their first year. For others, Lord, they're in the middle. They're finished in their sophomore year or their junior year. Or now their seniors are going to be now next time they come back to school, second semester seniors. Thank you for every one of them and their leadership and their love. And I pray you'd please help us just practically take a few thoughts and apply them to our hearts and lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Apostle Paul finishes out this admonition, and he closes out the exam of this particular letter and this lecture and this lesson this semester to the church at Corinth, I want to do the same thing with you. Number one, watch ye. Watch ye. That's an easy, simple admonition. He said, you're going to watch out. You know, Jesus said that to the disciples when they were getting ready to go to the cross. He said, watch ye, watch and pray that ye enter not temptation. First Peter, Peter heard those words from his own ears from the Lord Jesus. Years later says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want to ask you, young person, on purpose, as you approach this summer, there are some sins of summer. There are some things that take place in summer that are challenging. One of those things, or you'll be overcome by those if you're not careful, if you don't watch. Watch. All through the Bible, Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 5, we're reminded, watching thereunto with all prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. Apostle Paul told Timothy, to watch thou in all things, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5, reminding us, to walk circumspectly, not as a fool. I think casual Christians become casualties. Casual young people who just bebop through life, and oftentimes after a great victory, you can find yourself in a battle. We let our guard down. Hey, you got a diploma in your hand. You got a degree in your hand. You have finished something. You have some credibility now. Well, what are you going to do with that? You know what you're going to do? You better watch. On Saturday morning. And by the way, you're interesting to find this, that watching and prayer are twins. Watch and pray. One of the ways that you can stay alert to satanic attack and problems that will destroy you, Satan is a very patient adversary. He just keeps on knocking with temptation. But the person he can't win is the prayer warrior. The man or the woman who prays. We've had a great emphasis this year under the leadership of Dr. Douglas on prayer. Moving mountains, prayer meetings. And many of you have been so faithful to attend those. And having prayer revivals and prayer opportunities for your bus routes and your dorm floors and things of that nature. Huge. There are a lot of temptations that you have not faced because of prayer. The Bible tells us in the Lord's Prayer to deliver us from temptation. Keep us from evil. It's one of the prayers you ought to pray, is to say, Lord, please help me. I want to encourage you, young ladies, young men, watch out. Watch ye during this time. And one of the best ways to watch is to be prayerful. Make time to pray. It takes time to be holy. Some of us don't want to take the time. But it takes time to read your Bible. It takes time to pray. It takes time to set aside time. And you'll have a little bit more time, most of you, this summer. Make sure you use the time wisely. Number two, I want you to notice the second admonition Apostle Paul gives. He says, watch ye, number two, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. I want to encourage you to stand fast. And that's something that all through the scriptures, God encourages people to stand fast in the faith. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Ephesians chapter 6, you'll find you stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And going on, then it says, having done all, stand. God wants us, and if not careful, you'll be knocked on your backside. And one of the ways it says to stand fast is by faith. Now, what is the way that we get faith? Where is faith entered into the heart of a person? Why did Abraham leave the Ur of the Chaldees? Why did Noah build an ark? Why did Abel offer a sacrifice? Why did Enoch walk with God? Why did Moses choose the people of God instead of enjoy the pleasure of sin for reason? All of them did it for the same reason. They got a word from God. The way we stand fast in the faith is getting into the Word of God. The Bible must be something important to you. You guys, and I have been in this group, I've been so information fat, but I'm application skinny sometimes. I've heard so many life-changing messages, I don't even know who I am. Chapel has been tremendous. You've heard great preaching. You've heard tremendous challenges in your Bible class. I remember as a young man walking out of Daniel and Revelation here in my class so many times, and walking out of prayer class and walking out of this particular Bible doctor class, and walk out with my mouth open and said, man, that was rich. Whoa, that was amazing. Coming out of Old Testament survey or New Testament survey, I never saw that before. Boy, that's really good. May I say, friend, I couldn't live on what I heard in Bible college. I needed to get in my Bible the next day. And you need to do the same thing. In the lazy days of summer, and many of you are not going to be lazy, you'll be working very diligently. Some of you will be at camps, and some of you will be in internships. Some of you at home working extra hours. Spend time in the Scriptures. The way we watch is to pray. The way we stand fast in the faith is in the Word of God. Make much of the Bible. Let it burn. Read the Bible till you get holy heartburn. Jeremiah said, man, that my heart burned within me. His words burned within me. Let the Word of God burn inside of your heart. Number three, he says, watch ye. Number two, stand fast in the faith. By the way, you have to stand fast against some friends. You're going to have to decide who are going to be those who influence you. The Bible's very, very clear. Financial management. There are four principles in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Number one is to work diligently. Number two, I'll skip it, but number three is to live contentedly. Number four is to give generously. But number two is to associate carefully. When you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, and the Bible tells us our relationships and responsibilities to our older men, to older women like mothers, to older younger men like brothers, to younger ladies like sisters with all purity, and how to treat the widows and how to treat our elders, our leaders, our spiritual leaders in our life. And then it says you've got to constantly evaluate your friendships, your associations. Some people you can tell from the time you first spend time with them, they're bad news from the beginning. Some people, their works follow after. Some they deceive us like a Judas. You've got to continually calculate your associations and say, where do I fall with that situation? And learning to withdraw yourself. In that 1 Timothy chapter 6 passage of scripture, the Bible says, if you got someone who's always asking doting questions that generate strife rather than godly edifying, withdraw thyself from that person. Mark that person and get away from them. He that walketh with wise men shall be, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Very important that you learn to abstain and stand against wrong friends. Stand against the flesh. Your flesh cannot be trusted. And especially late at night, young people. Many of you guys will work hard. When you get home at night, you want to vegetate. And the way we vegetate oftentimes is to get the remote control and just start flipping through things. Or get your computer open and start just looking at different websites or typing in different buzzwords or going to YouTube. It's all there to try to draw your hearts into a questionable environment. And your flesh will feed on that. Better guard against that. By the way, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not. Yeah. A relationship with the Bible, a relationship with prayer. Very important. Real quickly, need to hasten if I can, please, but look at the next admonition. Quit ye like men. That doesn't mean to quit. That means to prepare. To prepare yourself. You know, it'd be very good for you to decide, you know, I'm going to read 3 books this summer. I'm going to prepare myself for the next semester. I'm going to read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and see how Jesus led his disciples. Or I'm going to read through the book of Psalms. The Bible tells us that Psalms 73, 78 of them were written by David. What do we know about David? He was a man after. So he understood how God thought, how God felt, and what God wanted. He knew the mind, the will, and the emotions of God. So when I read the Psalms this summer, maybe you can read that and say, I want to find out what David knew about God that I can learn about God. He says, if someone honors God, he'll honor them. If someone lightly esteems him, doesn't really care how he thinks, what he wants, or how he feels, he said, I'll lightly esteem that person too. Prepare yourself. Quit you like men. By the way, when you do that, other people make note of that. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 9, it was challenged there, was a challenge given. He said, look, guys, if you'll quit yourself like men, if you'll prepare yourself like men, other people will get on the bandwagon with you. People are looking for you. Listen, when you go back home to your church this summer, or you go into the community, listen, keep the standard high. Be someone that someone says, you know, that person is serious about the Lord. That guy is, look, when you go to church, dress up for church. Don't dress down. There may be some of you have to go to work, right from work to church on a Wednesday night, and those would be understood situations. But if all possible, you be an example to the believer. Be example to those older men and women in your church. Be example to the other young people coming up that this guy's just a cut above. He's preparing himself. He's serious about what God's called him to. She is a precious girl. She's not just one thing at the college and somewhere else. Listen, keep your wardrobe right. Keep your fashions right. Keep your fads right. Be a good testimony. Be an example. Quit you like men. Keep preparing. And then it says, be strong. It takes strength to serve the Lord. It takes strength to go soul winning. It takes strength to be faithful. It takes strength to forgive someone who's hurt you. Take strength to be faithful in your church services. Take strength to pay attention in the services. Take strength to work on a bus route. He said, be strong. The admonition he gave to Joshua, be strong and have good courage. I'll strengthen your heart. I'll help you. And then the last thing, let all your things be done with charity. Years ago, there was a guy named Vance Havner. Vance Havner was a tremendous preacher of the gospel. He married a precious lady, and they were sweet friends. They never had children. It was kind of a heartache of their life, but they got through that, decided they would just continue to serve God together, and they did. She was his greatest cheerleader. She loved him. And he was an evangelist, so he would go off oftentimes to preach on his own, and she would always pack his suitcase, and she would always polish his shoes. And he said he... I heard him say this. I was coming home from UPS one night. I got sick at work, and I needed to come home, and I came home through Chicago, and I turned on the ancient, I think it's Conference Echoes was the name of the program on the radio station. And I listened to him tell the story. He said, I think his name was Sarah. He said, my Sarah, she went home to be with the Lord a couple years ago. It's been really hard these last 2 years. I'm still preaching a lot. I'm still going. I have to pack my suitcase now. And I have to find my own way to get my shoes shined. He says, sometimes I shine on myself. But most of the time, I get someone to shine them for me. The young man downtown at the market, I'll take him down and he'll shine them. Or in an airport, I'll go over there and sit down for a little bit and have someone shine. He said, my Sarah used to shine the shoes for me, but now someone else shines them. And they still look good now, but there's just no love in the shine. Sarah would do it with love. How do you serve the Lord? How do I serve the Lord? Do I do it because I get to or because I have to? Well, when you serve Christ, he said, let all your things be done with charity. The love of Christ constraineth us. Young people, I'd like to give you the five challenges that Apostle Paul gave the church at Corinth. Number one, watch ye. That means you need to pray. Stand fast in the faith. That means I got to make much of the scriptures. Quit ye like men. I need to prepare. I need to engage. I need to lead. And realize that I'm only one person in the world, but I'm the world to one person. Someone's watching you. Some young lady's watching you, girl. Some young man is watching you. Quit you like men. Prepare yourself. Engage in opportunities. Lead for the Lord. Be strong. And let everything you do be done with charity. Let's pray together. Can we? Father, thank you for this chapel time. Thank you for the love that I feel in this room.